Sorry. Good morning. Welcome to the Monday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This morning, as we head into a week focused on learning to rejoice, we're going to break down a passage out of Philippians chapter 4 and began yesterday to kind of introduce the topic about learning to rejoice and about the difference between rejoicing and true joy and happiness that's more dependent on happenings. But today's focus in the series is learning to rejoice always. As I look at it, and we look at that first verse in the section I want to use, Philippians 4:4, Paul writes and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." I think sometimes, and I did the same thing, we focus a lot on the rejoice always. That's what Paul's telling us to do. That's what God wants us to do. But I suspect I could have just as easily and maybe even more appropriately titled today's topic, Learning to Rejoice in the Lord. You see, that's the key. When I originally looked at this idea, the thought of we know and we hear and we believe God's command to rejoice always, but while we may not say it out loud, we often feel that we can't. That the command is a difficult one. And sometimes we look at that and we read and hear of God's command that thou shalt not steal, and we think, well, compared to rejoicing always, that's easy. But right smack dab in the middle of this command, in the middle of this verse, is the way to do it. God not only gives us the command, He gives us the means to accomplish it. And He says, in the Lord. You see, that part is so key to this verse and to learning to rejoice always. Because I can pretty much guarantee there will be things in your day, and if not today, within your week, that are not rejoice worthy. But God's presence is always with you. His presence, His being is always worthy of rejoicing. And so when things fall apart in life, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Even while we grieve, even while we mourn, even while we are filled with sorrow over the hurt that exists in the world, exists in our own life. You see, those things can exist together in the same person. We tend to think it has to be one or the other. If I'm grieving, I can't rejoice. Well, the cause is different. The way we go about it is different. Even in the midst of my grief, I can rejoice that God has promised He will never leave me nor forsake me. It's why Jesus instructs us to take heart, to be filled with courage. When does He give us those instructions? Well, a couple times, but probably the most popular, most common that people know of or think of is Jesus promises in this world you will have trouble. He doesn't say it's possible that trouble will come your way. He doesn't say that it might happen. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Be encouraged. Be filled with courage. I have overcome the world. You see, it's in that knowledge, and it's living in that knowledge that gives us the ability to rejoice in the Lord always, even in the midst of trouble. We rejoice in the Lord. And I believe it's this act of learning to rejoice in the Lord always that helps us to get through the troubles. It reminds us of the Lord's presence. It reminds us of the Lord's promises. It reminds me of how much God loves me even when I feel alone. Even when my soul is downcast, as the psalmist would say. Even when I struggle to get through the day, learning to rejoice in the Lord always helps me to know that God understands. There's so many times in the scripture that David writes in the Psalms and he cries out to God. And it's in crying out to God in honesty and in anguish and in desperation at times that you begin to see the shift. As he realizes through his crying out that he has reason to praise God. And so many times he will begin a passage, a psalm that really expresses great despair. And it will end with some form of, yet still I will praise you. It's that learning to rejoice in the Lord always. What would your life look like today? What would my life look like today if I learned to rejoice in the Lord always? If I could do that when things do not go well, when they don't go the way I want them to, when the encounters that take place are more frustrating than helpful. See, I think sometimes we believe that to put this verse into practice, we have to accept everything as good, and that's not biblical at all. We have to accept God as good, no matter what happens. We live in a world that is impacted greatly by sin. The sin of our own, the sin of others, the sin of those that have gone before us. It's the old, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, bad things happen to people because sin is in the world. And the sad part about bad things is it's not discriminatory about who you are or how good or bad you are. And because of that, we ought to be able to rejoice that the Lord is with us. The disciples would have issues of wanting revenge. They would term it to immediate justice. But when Jesus sent them out and to preach the good news, there was a time they came back and they were just filled with awe and wonder and all that they had seen happen and all that had been done. And they really felt like rejoicing and not the best things. And Jesus says, rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Now, if you want something to take to the bank every day that you can rejoice in the Lord always about, no matter what happens, that right there, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life, that your sins have been washed away, that you belong to Jesus, you're His, and you're a child of God. If that doesn't give you something to rejoice in the Lord about always, there isn't anything that will. It's why Paul could write, and generally most of his letters, including this letter to the Philippians, is believed to have been written while he was in confinement of some kind. Sometimes in prison, sometimes under house arrest, and still imprisoned by the Romans, but responsible for himself in a sense. And he can write from prison, he can write from the harshest of conditions. And not only encourage others to rejoice, but express his joy. So many times he'll write to in these letters about praying with joy in his every remembrance of those he is writing to. About rejoicing in the Lord because of the gifts and help that they were able to give. And even in his struggle of praying and asking God and going to God again and again to remove a thorn in the flesh, he could learn to rejoice in the Lord even when the answer was no. And the real answer was, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. And sometimes we need to learn that answer and learn to accept that answer in order to rejoice in the Lord always. When our thorns continually jab us, when life isn't what we want it to be, to hold fast to the promise that God's grace is sufficient, it's enough, should help us to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. How will God have you grow today in your practice of rejoicing? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love for us is so great, so deep, so incredible. And you've given us your Spirit. You've given your presence to dwell within us as a down payment, as a reminder of who we belong to. And so, Father, help us to not lose sight of that as life comes our way and maybe hits us in the face and knocks us down. May we learn to rejoice in the Lord always. In the midst of our good days, in the midst of our struggles, may we remember and be reminded and remind others that your grace really is enough. May we hold fast to the knowledge and awareness that our name is written in the book of life, that we do belong to you, that no matter what happens here on earth, that we have reason to rejoice, knowing nothing can separate us from you. That our faithfulness, our desire to hold on to you is all that's required for you to hold on to us. And even when you're weak, your grip is strong. Father, today as I pray for the children in our homes, our schools, our churches, our communities, I pray that this lesson of learning to rejoice in the Lord always would resonate deep within their life. That the struggles they face, the struggles at home, the struggles at school, the struggles at the playground, the struggles in life in general, would not overpower the awareness of your presence. Father, that our teaching and modeling and discipling of young people would help them to grow in relationship with you. That they would see within us a life that knows that your grace really is enough. And our ability to rejoice in the Lord always would impact the lives of the young people. It would transform their attitudes as they learn to rejoice in the Lord always also. But Father, may we also learn from the children who many times are more free and open and honest with rejoicing in the Lord. They've not spent as many years in the weary trenches of life. And so may we not only be teachers and examples, but may we learn from the innocent praise and rejoicing that children do. And Father, as we learn together, as we grow together, may we be very diligent in lifting up Jesus in everything, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Monday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.